Because some still out, still open. Nah. If you would, turn me to Genesis, the first chapter. Tonight we're going to start, and we're going to finish this year talking about our spirits. We spent the first half of the year talking about the mind, breaking the mind down into the different parts, the will, the intellect, the memory, the emotions, and we begin to break those things down. And we're going to start in Genesis, the first chapter, the 26th verse, because the author made an excellent point about having all of those things lined up that can cause the greatest flow of power from God through us into the earth realm. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. That's the quickest way any energy, any substance will flow is a straight line. In a pipe, plumbing, if you have water, you know, water, you got pressure on water, but the quickest way water will travel is in a pipe that's straight. Now, of course, in our houses, we got elbows and 90 degree, 45, we got all the things. That means the water got to hit that corner, make a turn. What my point for saying all that is that when we have our mind lined up with our spirits and our flesh lined up with our mind, that means that the power of God has a straight flow. It doesn't have to, the power of God does not have come to our spirits and got to stop and pause for a while, slow down because our mind is bending. In other words, we're not thinking straight. And then when we got our spirit is in tune with God, we got our mind lined up, then all of a sudden the power got to stop again and slow down because our body is not lined up. So when we have all these three things lined up, that's when miracles begin to happen quickly, instantaneously. You know, Apostle was very clear tonight on believing and receiving. The Lord spoke to me just the other day, simple words. He and watch this. Matter of fact, I'm going to give it to you exactly like he gave me. He said that I want you to begin to believe and receive your way out of problems. Believe and receive your way out of problems. What we used to? We used to working our way out of problems. But he told me the other day that I want you to begin to believe and receive your way out of problems. He also spoke this to me. He said, and I will let you know if I want you to be a catalyst to your miracle. Now, let's define the word catalyst. A catalyst is, if you look up a dictionary, a catalyst is a substance that is involved in a chemical process. You know about catalyst, in the plant. It's involved, but it doesn't actually affect. In other words, it's not going to change the outcome of what's going to happen. So, in other words, sometimes God will ask us to be a catalyst to something he wants to do on the earth. But it doesn't mean that he's not going to do it. Give you an example. Jesus fed the 5,000. The catalyst was the boy with the fish and the 5 loaves, 2 fish. Now, Jesus going to do it, but God just got him involved as the catalyst. Jesus told the 10 lepers, Jesus, we know you can heal us. Watch this. We know you can heal us. That's believing. Jesus said, be thou healed, go your way, and show yourselves to the priest. Now, whether they show themselves to the priest or not, they're going to be healed. But going to show themselves to the priest was a catalyst that Jesus used, got them involved, being used to fulfill one of the laws that needed to be fulfilled. Are you seeing this? See, one of the laws was if you had leprosy and if you got healed, you had to go show yourself to the priest to show yourself clean. That had never happened. So Jesus used them as, they were going to be healed anyway, because when Jesus speaks it, it happens. Are you seeing this? So sometimes, and watch this, in Hebrews, God begins to talk about that he will write upon our hearts his law. That means that when God wants us to be involved, he'll let us know. Otherwise, all we got to do is believe and receive. See, so this is the importance of having our spirit as lead, having our minds lined up with our spirit. That's why we have to be in control of our emotions. That's why Luke 21:19, in your patience, possess your soul. That's talking about your emotions. Other words, when you get some bad news or something don't go your way or somebody come at you in a wrong way, you got to take time to pause and take control of your emotions so that they can remain lined up with your spirit. That's why God said, I want you to be slow to anger, you know, swift to hear, because he wants you to control these emotions. Are you understanding what I'm saying about this? The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Not going through all these curves. Sometimes us receiving our miracle is because of us not really becoming, as Dr. Thompson said tonight, conscious of the grace that God has placed on us, the grace that we walk in. And so we go through all these different steps. All through these different, well, I got to do this, then I do this, then I do this, then I do this. When I do this, then that's just going to happen. No, that ain't how God designed it to be. God actually don't need you to do anything to perform a miracle. He sure didn't need us to make us. Why don't you look in Genesis, the first chapter? It's important that you understand this. Understand that we are, that God created us as a spirit first. Genesis, the first chapter, and the 26th verse. Watch what he said. And God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man how we see him, how we see man. And watch this, I'm saying and because of the comma. And after our likeness, or make them just like us. Go to John, I think it's John the fourth chapter. Watch this. Hold your finger to go to John, the fourth chapter. John, the fourth chapter, the 24th verse. In the 24th verse of John, the fourth chapter, it says, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What's the first part of the verse? God is a spirit. Let's go back to Genesis, the first chapter. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, how we see man, and after our likeness. So God initially was creating man as a spirit. Are you seeing this? All right. Now, what's so important about that? What's so important about this? This is important because God, watch this, we've made it difficult, but it's really God designed it for it to be easy to communicate with him. But because of what Adam and Eve did, the law and Satan has tried to make it difficult for us to communicate with God. Go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. See, when we understand these things, when we understand how we're designed, then we can really clearly grasp how we are to communicate with God and how God communicates with us. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Twelfth verse. For the word of God is quick, mean alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see where it says, he says that it is dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now notice there's no comma between soul and spirit, but there's a comma between soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, meaning the flesh. So that means that soul and spirit are closer than any other part of the... Are you seeing this? See, God is almost putting soul and spirit as one. So this is the purpose of understand this, that your mind is a tool for your spirit. Your mind is a tool for your spirit. So you're supposed to use a tool, right? A tool is not supposed to use you. You're supposed to use a tool, but the tool is not supposed to use you. But because the mind is so closely related to our spirit that it is the word of God that differentiates between the two. So if there is no word of God involved, that means you won't be able to tell the difference between the two. So now you see where there are carnal Christians and those that are spirit-led Christians. You see the difference? We have to become spirit-led Christians that uses the mind. A lot of times God speaks to us, and if we're not in the... So you say, okay, how... I'm understanding. What's the relationship between the mind and the spirit? Well, your mind is a thing that interprets from your spirit so your body can understand what to do. So you can get understanding. See, we receive things from God in our spirit, right? But our mind is there to help interpret what we receive. Is this making sense? See, but if we don't have the word of God there as the foundation, then what happened to Adam and Eve can happen to us. Satan came in with another suggestion, and the tool became the lead. Because, see, God ain't talking to our minds. He's talking to our spirits and letting our mind in on it. See, this is important. Now, this is important because a lot of times God will talk to us and gives us instructions sometimes. And sometimes those instructions don't quite make sense. But if our mind is in control, our mind wants to gravitate towards the world system and its way of processing things rather than letting our spirit be in control and our mind being subject to our spirit. You see, as long as your mind is not a tool, it will cause you to make wrong decisions. So you have to make your mind a tool. This is why the Bible says, in your patience, possess your soul. Grab it. Slow it down. Your mind can't do nothing that you tell it not to do. The only way a mind does something that you tell it not to do is if you let it run on its own. Are you seeing this? See, it says the word of God. Watch this. It says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Watch this. And of the joints and marrows. Now, this is important. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, in other words, the word of God or God speaking to us will help judge our intents. It's the word of God is the only thing that can reach the word of God is the only thing that can reach the deepest inside of you. Nobody else can. No other human can. The word of God is the only thing that can reach deep inside of you and check out your what you really want. That's it. So we have to train ourselves to let our spirit lead and mind follow. This is why I never react in a situation. I never react. Because when you react, that means your mind is in control. But if you take time to respond, there's a difference. You take time to respond to a situation, that means you have given God a chance to intervene in your situation. See, here's one example where we react. We get news that, or we get into a situation and we immediately begin to bind stuff. God, you said whatever we bind on earth, you're bound in heaven. But that's us. That's our tool taking God's word and trying to control it. Are you seeing this? Instead of allowing God to take his word and do what it does on the inside of us, reach deep on the inside of us, and then give us the opportunity to respond. See, you don't have to make rash decisions, rash, quick decisions. Never, you don't have to do that. I'll never forget Dr. Thompson said this, and I'll never forget because I've witnessed it myself. There are no emergencies in the spirit. There are no emergencies. Why is there? Listen, how I know there's no emergencies? Who was Joshua? And God, they were losing, and God stopped the sun and said, I'm going to hold the sun and the air till y'all get this together. So there's no emergencies. God will pause everything till we get it together. I believe that. I've seen him do it. He will pause things until we give him a chance to do what he does. Until we get those instructions. Till we get that information. Till we get that inspiration from him. See, he said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness. Because God's ultimate goal is to communicate with us through spirit. Now, Jesus walked in perfection of this. Go to Luke, the first chapter. Verse 80. Now, it was talking about Jesus, but watch what verse 80 said. Luke, the first chapter, verse 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. In other words, he grew and became strong in spirit. One of the keys to Jesus' success is he became strong in spirit. Not strong in intelligence. Strong in spirit. In other words, his focus, Jesus' focus was on learning how to communicate with God on an efficient level. Not how much he can learn, but how much time he can spend with God to know more about him. Because when you have God, you have everything. See? And he said he was in the desert until the public announcement of his ministry. Go with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. We are almost finished. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Spiritual blessings. Not earthly blessings, not intellectual blessings, but spiritual. So let's break the word blessing down. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has empowered us with all spiritual empowerment in heavenly places in Christ. Heavenly, heaven-like places. It ain't talking about heaven. It's talking about heaven-like places. So watch this. If we allow God to train our spirits right, are you listening to me? If we allow God to train our spirits right, we will be spiritually empowered to have an impact in this earth that is like heaven. So we don't have to be quick to go to heaven. Because of our spirit's leading, God is teaching us how to recreate heaven on earth. That's all he wanted to do with Adam and Eve. That's all he wanted to do. God created a utopia, put it there because it didn't cover the whole earth. Eden couldn't cover the whole earth. Because if it covered the whole earth, where did he expel them to? When he put them out of Eden, they had to go somewhere else on earth. So God had took a spot out of earth, designed it like he wanted it, and wanted to teach them how to recreate it. And so that's all God wants to do with us, is teach us how to create heaven-like places. And watch this. Listen to what he says. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. It's already been done. So it is once again, we're back at the cross with it is a finished work. All we have to learn how to do is believe and receive. No more. It ain't this five-step process. Do you realize what confession is? Confession, we especially word of faith, we've made confession as a step to getting a miracle. Yes, we have. But it is not a step to a miracle. Confession is just reminding us to believe. All right, great example. Do you have to wake up in the morning and remind yourself that your name is Brian? Do you have to remind yourself of whatever you use your own name? I don't have to get up in the morning and remind myself I'm Leroy. I have been, when I was born, I used to call me. When I went to school, I had to learn how to write my name. I had to write my name on top of all my tests. I had to do it over and over to the point I realized I'm Leroy. Right? This is something that I am convinced of. I don't have to get up and remind myself that I am Leroy. Right? This is what confession does. Confession reminds us of who we are. Because there are times we don't remember who God created us to be. So when we confess the word of God over our lives, the confession ain't causing it to happen. The confession is reminding us and causing our consciousness to become aware of who we really are. That's believing. So now I am believing. All I have to do is stand and receive. That's all they did. That's all they did in the Bible. When they with Jesus, they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I believe you can do this. And then they received what he did. Even one of them came to him and said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And Jesus turned around and did something about it. And all they had to do was, and that was on people that didn't have the same access to grace that we have. So confession brings you to an awareness. That's a good statement. Confession brings you to an awareness. It's not the thing that caused it to happen. It's bringing you to an awareness of what God is doing in your life. It's bringing an awareness. So you get to a point to where just like you know you when you wake up in the morning, you know your name and you know who you are. Confession brings you, because see, really when they kept calling me, they were confessing Leroy. Until I really got of age and began to realize, so it came to a point now, watch this, it came to a point where whoever said Leroy, I'm turning around and looking, because that's all I've been associated with. So watch this. So now I knew if somebody said James, I ain't looking. That ain't me. Right? That's not my name. So if a situation shows up in my life that ain't me, I shouldn't answer to it. So confession, when that situation is sitting there right in my vicinity, I need to take the word of God, confession, and remind myself of who I am and whose I am. Do you see it? So all it has to do with your spirit. See, mental assenting comes. See people will mentally assent. Other words, they know what to do, they know how to do it, and they begin to operate in their senses with it. They just go and do it instead of pausing and allowing God to communicate with their spirits and subjecting their mind to their spirit, making it a tool. People who mental assent, you can tell people mental assent. People who mental assent, their mind is the lead. Because they go through the same process every time. Nothing ain't changing. God ain't gonna do nothing the same. God might be over here one day, then over the next day he over here. Not that he's trying to lose you, or not that he's trying to shake you. It's just he's not gonna do it the same. Because he's God. He's in control. He's just like some people who want to hear the voice of God. Well, God don't always come in an audible voice. Sometimes he comes as an inward witness. Sometimes God comes talking through somebody else, and then you're in a conversation with them, and they're speaking to you, and then you say, "Man, that's God." See, God is not coming for us to tell God, "I only want you to come through an audible voice." That means we now in control. Then how God operates? Are you seeing this? God never does anything the same. So we have to learn to communicate with God with our spirits. So we have to develop our spirits. We have to allow God to develop our spirit. Not you develop your spirit. God develop your spirit. So what does that mean? When I begin to spend time with him, that's him developing my spirit. Are you seeing this? When I spend time with God, it is him developing my spirit. Me getting used to God speaking to me. Me getting used to God not talking, not saying, not giving me ordinary instructions. When I spend time with God, that's me getting used to hearing God's voice. That's him developing my spirit. Are you seeing this? See, it is not, watch this. Oh, say this and we're going to close. God positioned you through the blood of Jesus where he wanted you. So there's nothing you can do to get deeper. You're deep. You're deep already. But what you can do is you can become more aware of how deep you are. You can become more aware or more conscious of how much God loves you. Am I making sense? So it's not so much that somebody who has miracles happening in their life is deeper than us. They just more aware. They just know that it ain't them. They know it's just believing and receiving. Are you seeing this? See, that comes from your spirit. See, your mind want to get in the way and figure it got to work its way. Your mind wants to be the lead and say, you got to do these steps. We got to do this. So what, you woke up this morning? Okay. And you didn't pray? Ain't nothing going to change. God's still the same. He still loves you the same. You just pray in the evening. Are you seeing this? Because if the mind, if you don't watch it, your mind will condemn you. Or you ain't prayed this morning. Or you ain't read your scripture this morning. Or you ain't do this morning. So if me not praying is gonna change how God feels about me, then that means I'm in control of how God feels. Are you seeing this? So it's a matter of us allowing God to train our spirit to become more aware. It ain't me about me being deep. I'm already drowning in God. I mean, there's nothing I can do to eradicate the salvation that is on my life because I, watch this, confess with my mouth. Watch this. Believe in my. So now I'm head to toe deep in God. It's just now I got to become aware of it. I have to spend time with him so that he can teach me how much he loves me. How many see this? So the next few weeks, the rest of the classes we have together, we're going to begin to deal with the Spirit. We're going to go through the Bible. We're going to start seeing how God, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, God revealed things to us by his spirit, to our spirit. You see? We're going to be going through that, so it's important that we understand how important our spirits are and how we are to develop, how we are to let God develop them, because God is a spirit. So if God is a spirit, he's not going to be communicating to our minds. He's going to be communicating to our spirits. And our minds have to tag along. Is that clear? You enjoy your night. Go ahead.